This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN Prime Time, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Alongside Matt Eumanns, I'm Tim Murray, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas. Thursday night, we saw the return of football. Boy, did it feel good to watch football teams on a field throwing around a pigskin with a line. First half under was not a winner, as we saw 34 points between the Panthers and the Cardinals in the second quarter. And Matt, before we look ahead to Friday's baseball action, I do want you, once again, you've said it a number of times, it just makes me feel good. How many Thursdays in a row will we now have football?
21 consecutive Thursdays, and Tim, I believe you and I will be here in studio for all 21.
And not wait for it.
We are going to miss one.
We will miss one.
We will miss one to go to
early
Hawaii.
On, we'll be in Hawaii. But once the regular season starts, we'll be here for all those Thursday night games, and we'll be live betting them. But can't wait for the football season to start. It'll be here before we know it. But before we get to the football season, Matt, we have baseball on the mind, and the hottest team in the sport is the Boston Red Sox. We'll get to them in a moment, but let's start hashtag Yankees update. Max Fried gets to start on Friday night. Big series. You've got the top dog in the NL East, the Atlanta Braves, heading to Yankee Stadium, and Max Fried and the Bronx Bombers around a $1.54 favorite overnight against the Braves.
Yeah, Max Fried, he should be a favorite here, but 154 is a high price to pay for the Yankees because they're so erratic offensively, and you just don't know what you're going to get. They do have some new faces in that lineup right now that should help matters, but the Yankees' starting pitching has not been the problem. The pitching's been outstanding for the past couple weeks. What will you get in terms of scoring? Offensive production? Who knows? Yankees right now 64-51. They are 4.5 games back of the Rays. The Red Sox only one game behind the Yankees. So this is obviously a pretty important series, and Max Fried is a bet-on pitcher. But again, as we say a lot of times, baseball betting is about the price, and that price is a little bit too high for me to pay.
I know a lot of Yankee fans were hoping for some different moves at the deadline, but they did go and get Luis Garcia Jr. Was that an indicator of the health status of Aaron Judge to get more bang in that lineup? But we did get an update from Aaron Boone regarding Aaron Judge on his current activity.
Yeah, so he's been cleared to start some light activity in his progression back. So with that, it's getting outside and doing some running and some resistance stuff in the weight room.
Anything other than that?
No, then that'll roll into, you know, slowly but surely, hopefully starting baseball activities.
All right, well, I would guess that's somewhat positive. But, you know, when Aaron Judge was initially injured, Will Hill and I were talking about when do you hope he can be back? When do you expect to see Judge back with the Yankees? And we both said mid-August would be great. Well, that's not going to happen. If the Yankees get Aaron Judge back by middle of September, I think they're going to be thrilled at this point. The big light activity is not much, Tim. That's basically what you do or I do when we get off the couch and walk to the refrigerator to get a beer. That's light activity.
Do some twists and go get my 12-ounce curl in my belly. But the good question, Matt, let's ask it to Aaron Judge. Will we see him this season?
Oh, I'll be back this season. I don't know why I wouldn't be. That was always a plan to come back sooner than later, definitely. But I never had a thought of not playing this year.
There you go. From the horse's mouth. Mm-hmm. He says he'll be back this season. Yankees, Braves, big one on Friday night. Fair to guess, Matt, that you and Will Hill, by the way, in studio with you on Friday night. I think Yankees, Braves, good chance it'll be the primetime game of the night.
I think there's a good chance it will be. Braves up 8 games on the Phillies in the NL East, and the Phillies trying to make a big push here in the final 2 months.
Well, two teams headed in absolutely opposite directions, Matt, would be the Boston Red Sox, the hottest team in all of baseball, and the West Sacramento A's. And on Friday night at Fenway Park, we got a big old spread for the Boston Red Sox, north of 260 favorites against the A's, who come to limping into town with, what, 45 wins on the year? Just a complete disaster.
8 straight losses.
Of a season.
Who wants to bet the A's?
Not me.
Raise your hand if you want to bet the A's. Seeing no hands? No. Well, we will move on. I will say that Red Sox, at this price at 250 or higher, definitely warranted. They're trying to make a comeback Monday night. They are 25 going into Monday, excuse me, going into Thursday night, 25-3 in the last 28 games. And you're not going to bet against a team like this. And you're certainly not going to bet against a team like this with the A's, who have lost 8 in a row. So I wouldn't be surprised, Tim, if this number actually closes Boston minus 300. Who's going to bet the A's? If you're going to bet the dog here, I think you'd take plus 1.5.
How many money line parlays will have the Boston Red Sox in it tomorrow night or over the weekend, starting with the Boston Red Sox? Matt, how about the Chicago Cubs sweeping the Los Angeles Dodgers at Wrigley Field and then beating the Toronto Blue Jays in a very improbable comeback? So the Chicago Cubs, in a makeup game, beat the Blue Jays down 2-0 in the ninth, hit a 2-run homer, and then score on a throwing error. Pete Crow Armstrong scores that game-winning run. So now they go on the road, but what a homestand it was. They did lose 2 of 3 to the Yankees, but then swept the Dodgers, get that win coming from behind against the Blue Jays. They've won 4 in a row. They're still 5.5 games back because the Brewers have won 3 in a row, wrapping up their series against the Pirates. We see the Cubs debut of Kevin Gausman, traded from the Toronto Blue Jays tomorrow night in Kansas City. No line yet on this game because Kansas City's starting pitcher is to be determined.
You could also put, instead of TBD, you could just put trash. It's probably going to be a garbage starter. You probably want to have your money on the Cubs and Gausman here. By the way, which team has the best record in baseball, Tim?
That would be the Milwaukee Brewers.
How about that? Brewers have the best record in baseball, 72-43, 626 win percentage. But they're going to have to sweat out this division against the Cubs with a 5.5 game lead with about 7 weeks to go.
It is not going to be easy. Dustin May, impressive in his Brewers debut on Thursday as the Brewers beat the Pirates 5-2. He went 6 innings, allowed 2 runs on 3 hits. Tim Kirkchin on ESPN, who is absolutely not a hot take type of guy, he said, Brewers are the best team in baseball. Okay, take it for what you will. That's what he believes. But you're right. That is going to be an absolute war down the stretch. Those two teams, those two fan bases don't care for one another. Obviously, Craig Counsell used to be the manager of the Milwaukee Brewers from that area. But I tell you what, Matt, you look at the Brewers. They get a series at home against the Minnesota Twins, certainly doable. Then a West Coast trip where they get 3 against the Padres, 3 against the Dodgers. Then you come back home, you got Seattle, Atlanta, and before we know it, they've got a couple of big series against the Chicago Cubs, a 4-game set at the end of August into September at Wrigley, and then a 3-game set over Labor Day or after Labor Day weekend. They're about to be tested big time here with that 5.5 game lead.
That's going to get really interesting here, and that's why I said it's very important for the Brewers to win these games against the Angels and the Pirates teams that you have to beat, because the schedule is going to get a lot more difficult. Speaking of the Dodgers, you might say the Dodgers are the best team in baseball, but it's tough to say that right now because they've dropped 6 in a row.
Hard to believe.
And the Dodgers are going to be favored in Arizona on Friday night. And Sasaki is going to make the start. It looks like Dodgers about minus 165 trying to stop that losing streak.
Chicago White Sox get the Cleveland Guardians. That's a big-time series. On Thursday night, we had our buddy Sammy P, Sam Paniadovich, who is for Fox 32 in Chicago, has a 40-1 ticket on the White Sox to win the division. They have a 3.5 game lead over the Cleveland Guardians, and they're starting up a series against the Guardians. So Sammy P could certainly feel great coming out of the weekend, or things could get pretty tight in that division based off of how that series plays out against the Cleveland Guardians.
Let's face it, that division is probably going to go to the wire, too. I've said Brewers-Cubs, I believe, is going to be a photo finish, and the same thing could happen with the White Sox.
Yeah, there's no doubt. The Cleveland Guardians and White Sox will play that series in Chicago starting on Friday night. So White Sox and Guardians get things rolling there Friday night. So it'll be a busy Friday night of Major League Baseball. Also, Matt making his San Diego Padres debut is Robbie Ray getting traded from the San Francisco Giants. The San Diego Padres are around minus 120 favorites to win tomorrow night against the Houston Astros. Right now, looking at the wild card standings in the National League, you've got the San Diego Padres currently two games back of the Arizona Diamondbacks trying to get that final wild card spot.
Padres have been playing well. And so, like you said, the perception is this team has been a disappointment, but they're three games over 500, 7-3 in the last 10, and only 10 games back to the Dodgers, who've been slumping. But the main focus is going to be to track down the D-backs, and the Padres hope that their addition of Robbie Ray is going to make a difference down the stretch. Padres minus 124 at Circa overnight.
You know, on Thursday night, Matt, we saw Carson Beck, third-round pick by the Arizona Cardinals, formerly of Miami, on the field. We saw Haynes King, formerly of Georgia Tech, got the juices flowing. So just a reminder, the VSiN College Football Betting Guide is out right now. But also, the Circa Survivor documentary. It's heating up. This week's episode is called Survival Mode. Week 15 arrives like a wrecking ball. A massive wave of eliminations tears through the field, and the players who thought they had it figured out suddenly don't. Thanksgiving's on the horizon, and the wrong call won't just cost the contestants a game, it'll cost them everything. $18.7 million on the line. Watch the next episode Wednesday, 9 p.m. Eastern, right here on VSiN. If you need to catch up, well, all the episodes available on YouTube right now. Just search VSiN Live when you go to YouTube.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Head to the bottom of the ninth, Matt. Can the Boston Red Sox do it again? 7-6 White Sox with the lead over the Red Sox bottom nine there in Boston. Right now, if you want to jump in on the Red Sox, looks like they're plus $3. So if you want to believe in the Red Sox comeback abilities, $3 looks like the price that is out there right now.
Here during the Hall of Fame game, they were having a feature there at the end of the third quarter between the fourth on money raised for charities for the Pat Tillman Foundation and one in memory of Sam Mills. And they had these giant checks, and they're holding up the checks. And I thought, man, these got to be worth hundreds of thousands of dollars, maybe $1 million. Right? We're talking about the NFL and these charities. One check said $10,400, and the other one said about the same. $10,000? It's the NFL. What are you doing?
Step it up.
I know.
Matt,
we've
got a touchdown here. Carolina Panthers are going to punch it in and take the lead. So the live total has gone to 51.5, and the Carolina Panthers are going to move to minus 345 on the money line as we will get a touchdown here for the Carolina Panthers. Haynes King going to dump it off in the flats, and it is now 23-20, extra point pending in a high-scoring,
entertaining game.
And I'll say entertaining preseason game.
I was hoping this would not be an entertaining game. We thought it was going to be a dull offensive game, and we've had some long-scoring drives, some big plays, and sharper money was under the total tonight. That obviously turned out not to be sharp. This game's going to fly over. I think Cardinals probably were the choice of the sharper bettors as well. We had Drew Densick in studio tonight. He liked the under in the Cardinals. And now the Cardinals are going to have to answer. Carolina takes a 24-20 lead early in the fourth quarter. Turns out to be a surprisingly entertaining Hall of Fame game tonight with 14-plus minutes to go in Canton, Ohio.
That extra point is good as the touchdown there scored by Anthony Tyus III. Formerly of Ohio, a Bobcats. Yeah. A little maction in your life there. 24-20, early fourth quarter, live total 51.5. Juiced actually has just won to 50.5, and the Carolina Panthers minus 345. Matt, you've got better eyes on Red Sox and White Sox just underway. in the ninth inning. White Sox trying to snap the Red Sox, was it, seven-game winning streak?
Red Sox have won, I believe, seven straight. I know they're 25-3 over the last 28, and, yeah, they've won seven straight, nine of the last 10. And Red Sox did come from behind. Let's see, during the seven-game win streak, I believe at least five times, maybe six, they had to come from behind to win. You have to do it again tonight. 7-6 in the ninth. And I believe it is a tie game. Or is that off the wall?
Off the monster.
That's off the monster. It's going to be a leadoff double for the Red Sox. The way he looked when he hit it, I thought it was over the monster. It's off the monster.
Wow.
So the Red Sox, like, they're a tough team to put away here.
Plus 144 now, the Red Sox. The line just moved from 320-ish to now plus 144, 7-6. Yeah, he thought he had.
Yeah, when he hit it, he was posing like he had a home run, but it's off the monster.
Yeah, it looked like, I think, was that Caleb Durbin who thought he had? No, I don't think that was Caleb Durbin. But regardless, looked like he had tied it up instead. Long double, and now the tying run in scoring position. This has been quite the game, quite the series. Eli White into pinch run here. The Boston Red Sox, 62-51, the hottest team in baseball, and a bunt put down, a sack bunt, and now the tying run at third, Matt. Live number, White Sox still the favorite, Red Sox plus 123. All right, good to have football back. We'll keep you updated on White Sox, Red Sox, 24-20, Panthers leading the Cardinals early here in the fourth quarter. But Matt, one of the big stories, and we had Drew Dinsick, as you alluded to, in studio. Rams, number one power rated team. But he didn't see a ton of value on there just based off of the schedule.
Well, it's hard to. They're Super Bowl favorites, right?
You said that you had Rams, number one, after the end of last season. Well, they go out this offseason, get Myles Garrett. And now, they might be bringing back Aaron Donald. Let's hear from Sean McVay as Aaron Donald the other day worked out for his former team, the Rams.
I couldn't help but note, like right before we started, so I hope you're even aware of this, like the NFL transaction wire had Aaron Donald working out with the Rams today, which I guess...
Did it come across as a tryout?
It did come across as
best
a tryout.
Best tryout that we've ever had.
Okay. Do you think he could make the team?
Phenomenal.
I think he can make the team.
The kid's got a shot.
Yeah. No, that was honestly our way of being able to get a workout with him within the, you know, parameters of what's necessary. But Giff Smith said it's the greatest tryout he's ever had.
Great football coach. I don't know if Sean would be the best poker player in the world when
I'd be
he's
terrible
talking about
at that.
Aaron Donald. But
yeah, you know what? I've never claimed to be a good poker player either.
You've got plenty to do here. Appreciate the time,
thanks
Sean.
Thanks for having me,
thanks,
Greg.
Thanks for coming on.
It certainly seems like, Matt, it's not if, it's when does Aaron Donald
I've always
join?
Felt that way. Yeah. As soon as the Myles Garrett thing happened, I said, Aaron Donald's going to come back. Really no doubt about it. The thing is, as we sit here on a betting show talking about it, how relevant is it? Does it move the needle? Mm-hmm. Let's say the Rams are plus 550 to win the Super Bowl.
Yep.
And it becomes official that Aaron Donald's going to come back. Does the number move at all? I don't think it does.
I don't think it moves, but does it move based off of betting action? Do more people bet it?
I don't know why you would. I mean, you know now he's coming back, so if you're going to bet it now.
Right.
You could have bet it last week or 2 weeks ago. But, yeah, I don't think it's going to move any numbers. And here's another thing about Aaron Donald. I believe he'd probably be a part-time player, like a platoon player, where you want to keep him fresh for the playoffs. So I don't think he would take a ton of snaps during the regular season. And that's a situation where you want to have Aaron Donald healthy and you want to have him full speed when the playoffs get here.
I saw this from Warren Sharp. 20 sack seasons since 2017. We've had three of them. Myles Garrett last year, T.J. Watt in 21, Aaron Donald in 18.
Mm-hmm.
Number of sacks, double team rate. Myles Garrett, 23 sacks, 30% double team rate. T.J. Watt, 22.5 sacks, 17% double team rate. Aaron Donald, Matt, in 2018 had 20.5 sacks. Do you want to take a guess on what his double team rate was?
What was his double team rate?
64%.
That's pretty high. Very high.
I mean, again, I mean, he hasn't played in a couple of years. You look at him, he's still very much in shape. But, yeah, to your point, your goal, if you're the Rams, is to have Aaron Donald to kind of be that cherry on top.
Yeah.
Like he, I mean, not like he was. He was obviously a menace and should have been Super Bowl MVP. Not that I'm bitter about that not cashing when they won the Super Bowl. But you want Aaron Donald to be fresh, ready to go for the postseason.
Yeah, you don't care about regular season numbers. You don't care if Aaron Donald has 5 sacks or 15 sacks. Oh, the Red Sox get a 2-out, 2-strike hit. And we have a tie game at Fenway. This team is unbelievable. 7-7, Red Sox come through. Look, the fans are in a frenzy at Fenway.
Red Sox were plus three, what were they, 350, 325, somewhere in that ballpark, down a run. Now the betting favorite, tied at 7, minus $1.39. The Red Sox, this team is something else right now. 25-3 in their last 28 games, 7 straight wins. And now, hottest team in baseball, the Boston Red Sox. Can they walk it off tonight? Matt, what was the stat you were saying? How many times were they had they had come back?
They had come back to win, I believe, 6 times during this win streak. And trying to make it 7 tonight. So when they fall behind, it's no big deal. It's actually been a pretty good live betting opportunity when the Red Sox fall behind.
Now $1.71 favorite after a stolen base. So a man in scoring position, Caleb Durbin, at the plate here. Can the Red Sox do it? In the bottom of the ninth inning, man, what a team right now! This
and
is
the White
insane.
Sox are playing really well going into the series. Now the White Sox have not been a good road team this year. If they lose tonight, they would be 9 games under .500 on the road. But they were playing good baseball before the series, and the Red Sox have certainly taken it to them. We'll see if they can. Ooh boy, this
was
is going to be a review on the steal at second. Very close to being out there.
Yeah,
I just
see if he got tagged on the.
I think he got tagged right there. Didn't
he? Looked
he?
Like he got tagged on the hip.
Yeah, I thought he should be out. But we'll
quick
see.
Update, Matt, from the Hall of Fame game. We got a drive going on here, and the Arizona Cardinals trying to take back the lead as they trail 24-20.
Is right there a
now.
Game going on? I'm just watching an interview in the booth with Drew Brees. Oh, yeah, we do have a game going on. Cardinals trying to kick a field goal from 35 yards, and that will make it 24.
It sneaks in.
Was that good?
It was good. 24-23. Matt, closing number in this game was 1.5. Important field goal to some. We'll see how the rest of the game plays out.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Extra innings, Matt, in Boston. The Red Sox do it again. They force extras now. Will they win? We'll find out. Top of the 10th inning, White Sox, Red Sox tied at 7. Matt, 24-23 in the Hall of Fame game. The total is way gone, but Carolina closed, depending on what sports book you were at, 1 or 1.5 in this game. And the Arizona Cardinals, it's preseason. Got to work on special teams. Just kicked the field goal.
Mm-hmm.
Got the deficit down to 1.
Cardinals
come into play here.
Cardinals are trying to cover.
Yeah. Well, we were talking to Todd
Furman. Or push.
Furman.
They're going
to
push your cover.
Todd Furman earlier in the show, he said, preseason games, you would be surprised how many games land 1.
Nah, you know, I've written a preseason column every year, and I always say, take the points in the preseason because a lot of these games land on 1, 2. You even have a tie because you don't play overtime. So take the points with the short dogs. 3 is not the key number it typically is.
24-23 right now, 10 minutes to go in the fourth quarter.
3 was key number tonight in the Las Vegas Aces Indiana Fever game. Let's talk about this because we don't talk a lot of WNBA, but I would have to ask Doug Kazarian, who's probably the only guy on the planet who's watched every WNBA game this season. But this might have been the game of the season in the W tonight. Las Vegas 86, Indiana 84 in Indianapolis. That's a final in overtime. Tim, at Circa, the total closed 191. So it's an under. but it was a pick'em, and this was a true pick'em game. Actually, at some books, Vegas closed a 1.5-point favorite. So Stephanie White, the coach of the Fever, made a tactical blunder here, and Caitlin Clark didn't help. Caitlin Clark missed a free throw. And what was the score at the time?
76-73 at the time with 4 seconds to go in regulation. Caitlin Clark missed a free throw. Aces get the rebound.
Would have put the Fever up 4. She's an 87% free throw shooter.
Yeah, 87% free
throw. You and I both thought she had to be 90-plus. She's 87%. She misses a free throw. 3-point game. Stephanie White, Fever, you got a foul, right? Foul up 3? Don't foul. Chelsea Gray knocks down a 3, forces overtime. Chelsea Gray also knocks down a 3 to win the game, and that's how the Aces take it 86-84 tonight. I can't imagine there's been a better game, considering these are two of the better teams in the league. Has there been a better game in the W this season?
I mean, once again, we acquiesce to Doug Kazarian out there, but it was a hell of a game. And how about this little nugget? Chelsea Gray made history tonight. First player in WNBA history to make a game-tying buzzer beater at the end of regulation and a game-winning buzzer beater at the end of OT in the same game. That according to the Elias Sports Bureau. Update, Matt, from Fenway Park.
Wow. How about this? White Sox get a 2-run homer. That barely bounces over the monster. And at the top of the 10 here with one out, it's 9-7, top of the 10th. 9-7 White Sox over the Red Sox, but the Red Sox not dead yet.
Chase Meadroth, second homer
off of Chapman.
Off the game of the game. He hit one in the third, now one in the 10th. 9-7. White Sox with the lead. And
oh, jeez.
What?
He had, watch this. He flips his bat. He's got like a dramatic bat flip. And this ball barely goes over the top of the wall. It goes over by what, 2 inches? Come on.
Live total now 16.5 juiced way to the over, and the White Sox a -630 favorite.
Hell of a game tonight at Fenway.
9-7 right now. Hell of a game in Canton, Matt, as the Panthers on the march again. 24-23. I'm going to say I'm pretty happy I didn't bet under 50.5 in the at halftime here. We'll see if the Cardinals can hold and not allow a touchdown here, but 7.5 and rolling left in the contest. The Panthers have a 24-23 lead, and it looks like we could get some more points here in just a little bit.
This actually turned into a really good game tonight. Not what you wanted to see if you bet the under, but again, the side far from determined at this point. What do you think the Cardinals wanted to see from Carson Beck tonight?
I think they got a lot out of what they saw from Carson Beck tonight. And Mike LaFleur, rookie head coach, Nathaniel Hackett. Yes, that Nathaniel Hackett is the offensive coordinator. And Nathaniel Hackett actually had some thoughts on what he was hoping to see. It's like Matt knew what the clip was going to be here from his rookie quarterback prior to tonight's game.
Without a doubt. I mean, you can call perfect play versus perfect coverage, and something can go wrong. I mean, who knows? There's a lot of people out there, a lot of human error that goes on in every single football play. And if it's good, again, we don't want him to get too excited. It's still a long game, and he'll have a lot of opportunity out there. And then, obviously, like you said, when something bad happens, you know, if I don't even want to say the things that can, but you know, anything that might bad happen on an offensive football play, how do you respond the next play? You know, if you lose yardage, you know, are you excited about the opportunity next? Are you next play, or are you thinking about that last one and letting it affect that next play? I mean, that's a huge mental part of our game, especially at that position.
I think the Cardinals definitely got what they wanted to see from Carson Beck tonight. Don't forget, he's facing a defense that's not blitzing. He's facing backup, second, third, fourth team defensive players. But he looked pretty good tonight, and that's obviously what the Cardinals wanted to see.
So this is interesting, Matt. Over at Kalshi, entering tonight, Jacoby Brissett was at around 88% to be the week one starting quarterback. That has now shifted. Still a pretty heavy favorite, Matt, but Carson Beck up to 26% in the prediction market to be the week one starter. We've seen a movement there. You know, you saw a little bit of market movement today, too, with the rookie of the year, 28 down to 25-1. I don't think it's a terrible bet to look at Carson Beck to be rookie of the year if you're just taking a flyer on a guy that could start a good chunk of the year. But I think Carson Beck will start sooner rather than later. I would be surprised if he's the week one starter, though.
I would, too. And the Cardinals situation and the Raiders situation is worth talking about here for a minute because there's going to be a lot of talk about it during the preseason as we move forward. I think the Raiders as an organization at the top, they've decided we want to bring Fernando Mendoza along at the right pace. Kirk Cousins is going to start the season. Mendoza's going to stand on the sideline. He's going to learn from Cousins. And when he's ready, we're going to pull the trigger and he's going to be the starter. When's that going to be, Tim? Is it after 1 month, after 2 months? It's hard to say.
Yeah.
When you look at the Raiders' schedule,
no clear spot.
Right. There's no obvious spot where you say, oh, that's where you're going to put in the rookie quarterback. I'm not sure when that's going to happen. Maybe it's a Kirk Cousins injury that creates a situation for Mendoza to start. Cousins has not been very durable. It certainly could be an injury that forces the Raiders' hand. As far as the Cardinals go, I don't think they're going to waste much time with Jacoby Brissett. And, look, I don't hate Brissett, but the bottom line is he's not your future at all. He's no part of your future. If you're a new coach like you are with Mike LaFleur, you've got to find out what you got in Carson Beck. And you want to get him as many starts as possible. So Jacoby Brissett might only start a couple of games. And when you look at the Cardinals' schedule, you know they're going to get off to a poor start. They could be 0-3, 0-5, 1-4. There's plenty of opportunities there for Carson Beck to get the first start. And I don't think it's going to be week one, but I think it's going to be the first month.
Yeah. You mentioned it. I mean, the Cardinals' schedule is absolutely brutal this year. And like I said earlier in the show, he's not Fernando Mendoza. He's not the number one overall pick. Right. He's not the face of your franchise. He's a guy that you need to find out what he is to determine whether or not we're drafting a quarterback next year high in the first round or if we believe that Carson Beck is the guy. I would be surprised if they come to the determination that he's the guy and they don't go with a quarterback, but it's not impossible to see that situation unfold. But, yeah, I was impressed, Matt. Once again, you have to realize – there was no game plan tonight by Carolina. It's you just go out there. I mean, to be honest, Prothy's coaches probably are annoyed that they're playing in this game. It's so early in camp. You know, you're going disrupting training camp. You're going to go right back into training camp mode after playing this game. But it's been a good one. 27-23, Keaton Slovis in now.
He threw a bullet right there. It's completed. 6:30 to go. Cardinals down four, but they got a first down on about the Panthers 40. This is the highest scoring Hall of Fame game since the Bears beat the Dolphins 27-24 in 2005.
Matt, Keaton Slovis ended his college career at BYU.
Where did he play? Four different schools?
USC. Did he go to Pitt? Went to Pitt.
He did go to Pitt.
And he finished at...
didn't he go to West Virginia?
Let me check. He went to USC, Pitt, and BYU. Only three.
That's it?
Only three.
Okay.
But two of those teams, Matt, in your preseason top 25. And right now, the College Football Betting Guide, it's a must-have, folks, 345 pages. I know we've been touting it. It's the cheapest college football preview magazine available.
But the most valuable.
VSiN.com/subscribe. It's the only one geared towards bettors. Matt's preseason top 50 with help from Paul Stone. Breakdowns of all 138 teams. Best bets galore. Get into some best bets to close out the show and more updates on the Hall of Fame game next.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Under 4 minutes to go in the Hall of Fame game. Will it finish up by the time our show comes to an end? 27-23 right now in the fourth quarter of this contest. And taking a look at where we sit from a live standpoint, Panthers, 27-23 lead, but they are... Double check this. Are they really the underdog right now? They're going to be. There must be a big play coming here on second and eight as Keaton Slovis rolls out, and yeah, they are inside the 5-yard line. The Panthers 27-23 plus 220, live total up to 57.5 right now. So the Panthers on the move, and hopefully for Drew Dinsick, who is backing the Arizona Cardinals, the live number is accurate, and the Cardinals are able to take the lead here. So tell you what, Matt, for a preseason game, we make our jokes about preseason games. This game has entertained us almost the entire night. Now, I wish we had won our bets, but still, you've got a first and goal from inside the 4-yard line.
Yeah, you're not going to kick a field goal here. Unfortunately, if you got the Cardinals plus 1.5, you'd love to get the field goal, but there's no way LaFleur is going to kick it here. You're either going to win the game or lose it, essentially. 27-23, and you got first and goal, so you got 4 plays to score from, what, the 4?
Panthers plus 230 to win this game down or up 4. How about, Matt?
Fenway Park. Bases loaded. 2 outs. 9-9. Bottom of the 10th. Can the Red Sox do it again?
This team is ridiculous.
This is crazy. I was out at the book, and I was sitting there with a friend who's watching this game. We're just talking about this roll the Red Sox were on. It's really historic. I mean, how many times in baseball do you see a team win at this rate? I mean, 25-3 over the last 28 is insane in baseball. And the Red Sox trying to make it 26-3. And here we go. There's a shot to the left side of the infield, and that's going to be – oh, he's out at second. Man. That's a close play at second. I thought when he hit it, it was going to be a single, and Red Sox are going to win. That's an outstanding defensive play by the White Sox.
Red Sox might continue this challenge game. It just to
– I don't think so. I think he was out. He was out, wasn't he?
Yeah, it looked like to me he was out. 27 – hard hit ball, man. That's a good play, and just to the bag out in time. We go to the 11th inning.
What a game.
At Fenway Park, 9-9. Man, that game has been something here tonight. And the White Sox, not desperate, but, man, they could use a win right now as they're trying to fend off the Cleveland Guardians, who they start a series with on Friday. And now we've got, I believe, second and goal coming up from around the 2-yard line for the Carolina Panthers. Can the Panthers, with Luke Kuechly going into the Hall of Fame,
make a goal line stand?
A goal line stand for their Hall of Fame linebacker, plus 210. By the way, Luke Kuechly, man, you see a lot of former NFL players lose a lot of weight, especially offensive linemen. Uh-huh. Luke Kuechly looks like he's like an insurance banker as opposed to one of the most badass linebackers we've seen in a long time.
I agree. I was actually surprised when he was standing there and Greg Olsen walked up.
Greg Olsen still looks
big. Olsen's still a pretty big dude. And Luke Kuechly looked like, since he retired, he's probably dropped 50, 60 pounds. Doesn't he?
Yeah.
Man, he doesn't even look like the same guy. He looks so small.
Luke Kuechly.
This guy's one of the best linebackers in the NFL for, what would you say, 5 years? He was basically an all-pro linebacker?
Yeah, he was 5-time all-pro, defensive player of the year in 2013, defensive rookie of the year in 2012, 7-time pro bowler, and called it a career pretty early. After 2019, said, I'm good. I call it a career. And he is headed into the Hall of Fame. Well, Matt, it leads us into another bet that I made. So I talked about the Jadarian Price bet that I made today, 9-1. I don't really have much in my NFL portfolio, so I said, doing a little digging today. Price was a guy I wanted to bet, missed out on the best of the number. The more I look at Sonny Styles with the Washington Commanders, I think he has a chance to be a volume tackle machine like Darius Leonard. Remember when he won Rookie of the Year with the Indianapolis Colts?
I'm going to guess that year. I think Darius Leonard had about 150 tackles. I'm going to say 152 tackles.
All right, let me look it up.
I mean, that's a big number. Maybe it's 142.
I thought it was 140.
Maybe it's 142.
Four? Check. Oh, I have the. That's Shaq Leonard.
Yep.
Wrong one. Nope. Yeah, looking him up right now, he had, 163.
Big number. Tackle machine. So you think Sonny Styles could be that type of player for the
Commanders? I do. I mean, you and I did the draft, and we were sitting here, and, you know, he fell into the lap of the Washington Commanders there at 7. The board broke that way. They, you know, with Dan Quinn, a guy that has a defensive background. He's going to plug right in as a big-time player. We saw how productive he was in his collegiate career, Matt. Look at the betting board right now for Defensive Rookie of the Year. Reuben Bain is your betting favorite. Makes sense. Edge rusher, sacks. David Bailey, number two, also edge rusher, sacks. And then you got Caleb Downs and Sonny Styles, both sitting at plus 750. Now, this is DraftKings. As we always say, shop around. Circa, plus 875 on Sonny Styles. So that is where I placed the bet on Sonny Styles. Just think he's a guy that will be on the field every down. Do we have a touchdown, Matt? No, he was out of bounds.
Wow. That looked like it might be a great catch for a touchdown, but I believe
let's see
his
the
foot
replay.
Was.
There's a replay. Sliding.
Yeah, I think his foot was out of bounds.
Yeah. And isn't one cheek equals two? Ooh, that is close.
Very close. If you slow this down frame by frame, you might. Boy,
he's out.
That left foot's got to be out of bounds.
I think he's out. Yeah. Man, that was a
How about this? The Hall of Fame game point spread decision going down to the wire tonight.
If you're right now, you took the points 1.5 with the Cardinals, you're saying, kick the field goal.
They're not doing that.
I know. There's no chance they're kicking the field goal. Now, you were looking at plus 250 or so, Matt, for...
Look at this. Look at this. If you slow it down to that frame, he was in.
Oh.
Right there. Right before his left foot slides out of bounds, you could say he had possession of the ball. I think this could be ruled a touchdown.
Man.
Yeah.
This is going to be fascinating to see how the replay goes. Massive implications right now from a point spread and just how this game plays out. The total has gone way over, obviously. All right, quick update, Matt. Fenway Park, top of the 11th. White Sox have a man on third, one out, 9-9 is the score there. So they're going to replay this touchdown.
What's this? Sack fly. I think it's about to be 10-9. You need a great throw to home, and
ooh,
he is safe. 10-9.
Good throw,
White
but
Sox
not good enough. Yeah. Wow. Great slide. 10-9 White Sox take the lead in the top of the 11th inning. Thank you, White Sox, Red Sox, man.
Game.
This has been a hell of a game.
All right, here we go. We get the ruling on the field. Hall of Fame game point spread decision hanging in the balance. It's
touchdown!
A touchdown. Call reversed on the field.
Mike LaFleur, who looks like he's 14, smile on his face as Bryson Green slides and makes the catch for a go-ahead touchdown. The Arizona Cardinals. What a game. I can't believe I'm saying it. Not tongue-in-cheek. Seriously, this has been a very entertaining game. Arizona about to go up 30-20.
It is over the total, but we got a minute 55 to go, and the Panthers are going to have a shot to come back and win this game.
So there is no overtime?
No overtime.
So they could kick a field goal and just get this to be a tie.
It could be a tie. Could end at 30-30.
Live total. Matt, what would you do? Live total 57.5. Juice to the under, minus 145.
It's got to be – you got to bet the under. Well, you don't have to bet the under, but
you don't have to do anything.
You got to favor the under. You definitely got to juice it that way. I think you have to bet against points being scored here. Haynes King is going to try to bring the Panthers back.
Bring it full circle, Matt. We had a best bet on the show tonight. Haynes King's alma mater, Georgia Tech. Todd Furman said under 6.5 for the Ramblin' Wreck this year. By the way, Georgia Tech plays three Power Four teams in the non-con. Play Tennessee, Colorado, and Georgia.
That's probably a little bit too much. How many does Indiana play?
Zero. Yeah. And Kirk Cignetti said, I don't care.
I don't care.
Google me.
Yeah.
Minute 55 to go. Arizona 30, Carolina 27. Matt, I want to end the show. Just reminding people, how many more Thursdays will we get football on our TVs?
Well, 20 more after this. 21 Thursday nights in a row with football, and this is the first one. And this has been a really entertaining game tonight. No good if you bet the under, but a wild game tonight in Canton, Ohio. It's not over yet. Minute 55 to go.
And they're headed to the bottom of the 11th in Boston. Can the Red Sox win it again in a walk-off? White Sox up 10-9. Thanks to Todd Furman, Drew Dinsick, Mike Sando, Jonathan Von Tobel, and Sammy P. Thanks to Corey, our producer. For Matt Humans, I'm Tim Murray. This has been VSiN Primetime.